Hello there, Wardville Community Church. It's Monday, August 22nd, 2022. This is In the Know, episode 52. I would like to offer a Wardville Community Church die-cut vinyl sticker to the first person to send me a text message with our mission statement in it. Ready? Go. Now, while I'm waiting for those text messages to roll in, of course, this is not live, so I will have been waiting for hours once you hear this. Life groups should be starting back up. You should be hearing from your life group leaders soon. You can contact me also to sign up for Manna House Distribution. We're going to start that up in the next couple of weeks. So if you want to be involved in that at some level, let me know. Today, August 22nd, is the deadline for t-shirt orders. There's a sign-up link provided in the newsletter. It's on Facebook, and I would be more than happy also to text it to you if you want to text me for that link. August the 27th, we took the two baby showers that were going to be happening, and we consolidated them into one day of baby showers, and that's going to be this Saturday, August the 27th. Nikki Johnson's baby shower is going to happen this Saturday, 10:30 a.m. in our church building. And Tiffany Gautreaux's shower is going to happen at 12 p.m. at Olivia Littleton's house. For more information, you can contact Olivia Littleton, and she can point you in the right direction and give you directions to her house. Because of that, August the 25th, which is this Thursday night, from about 5:30 to 8:30, we're having a work night in our church building. Priority number one is to get the flooring in the kitchen done for that baby shower that's happening here. But we're going to have a couple of other projects that are happening. Hopefully, we're going to restore the live feed to the nursing mother's room and all of that. So if you're able to be part of that, please come Thursday night, 5:30. That's going to be a bring your own dinner kind of deal, unless someone opts to pick up a pizza. August the 28th is a church-wide picnic at Keys Park. You're asked to bring a savory dish and a dessert to that. That's going to be a lot of fun. Currently, I am scheduling a Manna House volunteer meeting for that Sunday also, August 28th. But I'm also realizing I didn't give other churches and their volunteers time to really make plans to be at that. So we may end up moving that meeting. I'll be in touch about that. And then September 11th, the elders have called a members meeting immediately after service as well. Okay, let's do a little bit of sermon follow-up, one short and one medium-ish issue to talk about. First, I want to talk about Joseph's burial. When Joseph is about to die, he gives instructions for his bones as he mentions the Exodus. You can see that in Genesis 50, 25, and it's also reported in Hebrews 11, 22. As I said yesterday, this is really incredible because he is looking by faith into the distant future, and he's telling them what's going to happen, and he's also commanding them not to leave him behind when God visits and saves them from the oppressive hand of the Egyptians. And as the sons of Israel swore to do, so they actually do. Moses and Joshua both play a role in the fulfillment not only of Joseph's prophecy, but his command. Moses is said to carry up the bones of Joseph, Exodus 13, 19. Now, I don't think Moses probably physically carried them, but it was probably his directions that made sure that they came along. So he carries up the bones of Joseph because of the oath he made that Joseph had made the Israelites swear. And so what you see from that is clearly the command of Joseph and the promises that he spoke to them, that God would surely visit them, were passed down for those 400 years, even though they didn't have a written account of that to this point. So, I mean, that's like in 400 years, they didn't even lose Joseph's bones. So it's clear that the words of Joseph, you know, what God intended for, what you intended for evil, God intended for good, and God will surely visit you and will bring you out. Like, those things were shaping the thoughts of the people. And so they kept up with his bones, and they brought them with them. And then Joseph was able to be buried by Joshua. That's Joshua 24:32. Joshua lays Joseph to rest in Shechem, in the inheritance of the half-tribe of Ephraim, the second-born son who was given firstborn status of Joseph. So Joseph was able to have his bones laid to rest in the promised land, in accordance with his dying wish. I just love how the Bible gives closure to stories like that. Now let's talk incredible, unfathomable sovereignty. God is not simply watching events unfold before him and then reacting to them by trying to mitigate damage and somehow bring about good, as if that good were ever in question. If that were the case, if we make that argument, we run the risk of saying that God was either A, unaware of the human evil that was coming, or B, powerless to stop it. There are no backup plans for God, just in case his plans are thwarted or go awry somehow. The Bible does not give us latitude to make those assertions. God unequivocally knows the future, and he is able to cause or stop anything that pleases him. Therefore, he could put an end to evil wherever he finds it. The issue, and this is a sticking point in our culture today, the issue is that God does not always stop evil from happening, but often allows it to happen. Now, he doesn't let, there is a restraining influence wherein he doesn't let every person be as evil as he or she possibly could be, but he often allows evil to happen, and people have their way to some extent in this world. Our culture believes that God can either be all-powerful or all-good, but he cannot be both because evil exists. And so if he was powerful and didn't stop the evil, he's not good. And if he was good and didn't stop the evil, then he must not have power over the evil. The existence of evil, though, does not disprove the God of the Bible. For those that believe that it does, they're simply left with a world in which the evil around them has no remedy because there is no one good and powerful enough to defeat it. That solves nothing, and it proves to be a recipe for both terror and despair. No, the Christian understands that God is both all-powerful and all-good, but he is also all-wise. And he has created a cause and effect world, and he allows real people to make real decisions that truly affect the people around them, for better and for worse. The witness of the Bible is that God, in his sovereign wisdom, allows things to happen. And the promise is that those very things will ultimately accomplish his purposes, even if the perpetrators do them in rebellion or are unaware that they are fulfilling God's plan. And if it makes you uncomfortable for me to say that, consider with me that the things that happen in our world are either A, within God's plan, or B, outside of God's plan. If we choose B, then we are affirming that there are things that can actually happen in our world that God did not plan. This means that we have really no assurance that his will and his plans will win the day, right? If one thing can happen outside of his will that he didn't know about or was not part of his plan or is powerless to stop, then how can we say, like Revelation says, that at the end, God can bring this about in that way? What if something happens that he didn't prepare for and he's not able to bring that about? See, that we open, it's open theism. We open up the possibility that God is not actually God in the way the Bible makes clear that he is. But as it is, in the final evaluation of things, those who intended evil will not only be judged for those evil deeds, but they will do so, they will be judged in the full awareness that no matter how hard they tried to oppose God and his ways, their evil strivings ultimately brought about his glorious, good, and gracious purposes. Tertullian said, "The blood of the martyrs is the seed of the church." This has often proved true because simple observation tells us that where the church is most heavily opposed, there it often grows and thrives. It is not uncommon for God to raise up disciples from among a Christian's own executioners. In opposing God, they unwittingly can do nothing other than build up his church. Their evil strivings not only don't threaten or thwart God's plan, but actually end up doing the very thing they're trying hard not to accomplish, namely, bring good to his people. Even when Christians are put to death, God brings great personal good to those brothers and sisters of ours by using that death to bring them into his nearer fellowship, never to be parted again. Even death ultimately accomplishes God's good plans for his people. So, Christian, you have the hope that evil deeds do not elude God's judgment, human suffering does not escape his eye, and God's plans always come to pass. Genesis 50:20 holds forth a God who is not beholden to or unaware of the goings-on in our world, but who includes all of it within his glorious plan to redeem this world and set all things right. It is because of those truths that Joseph can look at the wicked actions of his brothers and attribute those actions to God's hand. He says, "It was not you who sent me here, but God sent me ahead of you." God is not the one who perpetrated the evil, but his plans were brought about through the evil actions of the brothers. In his unlimited power and wisdom, God did not prevent the famine, nor the evil actions of the brothers. In his wisdom, those were part of his plan to exalt Joseph and bring his covenant family safely through the famine. We don't understand all of it, but we must heartily affirm that our God is big enough to handle every broken circumstance, and we can trust him even when we don't understand. God is sovereign in ways that mystify us. His sovereignty and his wisdom are unfathomable. Read Romans 11, verses 33 through 36. But I hope and pray that even this brief and wholly inadequate discussion of God's sovereignty will inspire in you great confidence in him. You serve a God who is breathtaking, beautiful, glorious, and all-encompassing in his abilities, power, and sovereign rule. And you serve a God who is so infinitely kind that he has promised to cause all things, and all means all, to work together for his glory and your good. Behold your God. Gaze upon him and rest in him. Trust him with all your tomorrows. I pray you sleep better because of these truths. Have a great week. I love you, people.